And I'm gonna read the first five verses there. So Psalm 37, beginning in verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Well, in these first few verses, there are really many admonitions from the Lord. You know, do not fret. Trust in God. Delight yourself in him. Commit your way to God, right? And we really could spend a lot of time unpacking those verses and studying them and what they all meant. But there is one admonition that really jumped out at me as I read these verses, and it was like fresh bread from the Lord. In verse three, it says, "Feed on his faithfulness." Feed on his faithfulness. You know, God's faithfulness is certainly one of his wonderful attributes. He is faithful, and it's part of his nature. And here we're instructed in the scripture to feed on his faithfulness. We're also instructed and elsewhere in his scripture, right, to praise him for it. Psalm 92, 1 and 2, probably very familiar to many of you. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to his name, O Most High, to declare his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness at night. We're to declare his faithfulness every night. And that's certainly a good practice to be in, right? Not only to praise him in the morning for his loving kindness towards us, but as you reflect in the evening on God's faithfulness, even that day, how he was faithful to us, right? We're to sing his praises, to declare his faithfulness to us in the evening. And, you know, as I meditated on this particular phrase here, feeding on his faithfulness, and the other passages on faithfulness, I really, you know, purposed in my heart that, you know, by God's grace, I was really going to try to concentrate on that and be more faithful in that, to reflect back every day, right, on his faithfulness. I mean, we look to the Lord and you know, depend on him, and you know, how much time do we spend thanking him and acknowledging him for his faithfulness day by day and in so many ways, right? So really just taking a concerted effort at doing that. And you know, as I did that, I spent a lot of time in you know, studying verses on his faithfulness. You know, what is God's faithfulness? What does God's word say about his faithfulness? And just, you know, some of these are reminders. Some of these are, just verses trying to commit to memory, verses on God's faithfulness, so I could really be feeding on that faithfulness and not only know of his faithfulness, but reminded of his faithfulness personally to me. And really, this message tonight is just simply, you know, to sharing what God has kind of worked in my heart. So when Pastor asked me to speak tonight, you know, that was fresh in my mind, and certainly I knew what I wanted to speak on, because I had been spending time just on this idea of God's faithfulness. So he certainly is faithful. I know he's going to be, faithful tonight. You know, he says in his word that his word is not going to return void. And that's a wonderful promise, right? God has something for someone here tonight, or perhaps someone listening on Facebook. But God's word is not going to return void. It's going to accomplish what he intends. And he's faithful, so we can trust in that. So we'll look at that tonight. God's on feeding on his faithfulness. But before we kind of unpack that verse, right, or that clause there, feeding on his faithfulness, let's first define what faithfulness is, and then we'll look specifically at God's faithfulness. We'll look at both the characteristics of God's particular faithfulness and how is that manifested, right? How do we see God's faithfulness manifested to us? Now, to be faithful means to be reliable, to be steadfast, to be unwavering. Faithfulness is a valued characteristic, isn't it? We want faithful workers. We want a faithful spouse. We want faithful friends, right? Faithfulness is something that we certainly value. We might say things like, I've been thinking about someone who's faithful in service, right? And what does that mean? That means that they're reliable, that they're steadfast, they're consistent, right, in their service. They're faithful. We might think of a faithful employee, right? What might a faithful employee be? Well, that might be a person who's on time, right? Who makes commitments and follows up on those commitments, who does what they say, right? That's a faithful employee. And that's something that is valued. You know, when somebody commits to something and you know they're going to do it, you don't have to micromanage that person. You give them a task to do and you know they're going to do it. That's a valued employee, right? And that's a faithful employee. You think of someone who's faithful to their wife or their husband, right? They're no matter what, through thick and thin, they're faithful. They're loyal. They're true, right? They're reliable. That faithfulness, and we might marvel at someone who's been married for 50, 60 years, right? That's in today's day and age, that's something, right? Or even more, to have someone married 50 years or more, that's certainly a rare feat, and it's only by God's goodness that that does happen. But certainly that's something that's valued, right? And we think of a faithful parent, right? A parent that is faithful, that they say they're going to be somewhere, maybe attending a game or going somewhere or doing something, and they're faithful to their word. And children love that, right? That they can count on mom and dad, their word is true. And sometimes that can be a scary aspect of that, right? Because mom and dad can also say, if you don't do something, something's going to happen. And they're still faithful there, right? They're faithful to their word. And the consequences of that. So, but they're faithful, right? You know where they stand and they're faithful. We think of a faithful politician. Now that might be a little bit of an oxymoron, right? But someone who says what they're gonna do and actually does it, that's certainly rare, but it's something that would certainly be valued, right? They're not flip-flopping, they do what they say. They're a man of their word, right? And certainly in business, right? To be able to trust somebody that maybe you're dealing with a contractor or a business person and they're a man of their word, right? That's certainly a valued thing. So faithfulness, we see it and we value it. Well, the Bible has, speaks of faithfulness. Many different types of faithfulness. Faithfulness is looked at as an attribute of God. It's also a positive characteristic of some people that's brought out in the Bible. It's also a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then it's also, faithful, being faithful is also used in the sense of believing, right? So different ways of looking at the word faithful or faithfulness. Well, tonight we're going to focus on faithfulness as an attribute of God, His faithfulness, right? His faithfulness. God's faithfulness is His trustworthiness to act or perform in accordance with His words, promises, or sayings. That's a definition from a systematic theology. God's faithfulness is His trustworthiness to act or perform in accordance with His words, promises, or sayings. In other words, He does what He says, right? And we can count on that He's going to be trustworthy in all that He says. Certainly, as we look at the characteristic of God's faithfulness, Scripture speaks volumes on it. Over and over, we learn that when God says he will do something, he does it. Even though, you know, it might seem impossible, right? We can look back at the pages of the Bible and see promises that God has made and, marvel at, wow, to see it accomplished, right? So we know that when he says something, it's going to happen. He's always faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commands." He's always faithful. You know, if that wasn't the case, if God even just once, was not faithful, could we trust him? No, and he wouldn't be God, right? And he is faithful. That's part of his character, part of his nature, and he can't go against that nature, right? That's who he is. He's always faithful. 1 Kings 8:56 says, "Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses." Not one word has failed. Not one word has failed. You know, we think of ourselves, right? And, or somebody that you might think is faithful. Yet, they don't match that, right? Not one word failed. And that's our God. God is eternally reliable, steadfast, and unwavering because faithfulness is one of his inherent attributes. God doesn't have to work at being faithful because he is faithful. And his faithfulness is just, one of his many attributes. We're kind of focusing on one. It's, it's really part of who he is and just one aspect of his incredible nature, right, and his infinite nature. God's faithfulness, we think of God's faithfulness. The hymn that Abby played tonight and Brenda played that as special music this morning. She didn't even know that was going to be part of this, and so that was kind of neat to see that hymn, that great hymn of faith. Great is thy faithfulness, and as I reflected on that, as the words were up on the screen this morning, the Bible verses that I had been studying kept popping out at me as those verses the music to the words to the song were on the screen. The Bible verses kept coming to me, so I kind of this afternoon I kind of rearranged some of the my thoughts along with this hymn because I thought that would be a great thing to look at this evening as we. Take a look at God's faithfulness, and just as something for you to look at, turn to Great is Thy Faithfulness, hymn number 119, and we're going to use that, some of the phrases in that those words to bring out some of the verses that I've studied and I want to share with you on God's faithfulness. So hymn number 119, don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. All right, great is thy faithfulness. And, the first thing mentioned there is great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. God's faithfulness is certainly great. It's, in fact, immeasurable. Just listen to some of these verses. Psalm 36:5 says, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." So your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. And when you see, there's many passages in Scripture that, speak of some of his attributes being in the heavens or in the clouds. Or, that's talking about God's unlimited and infinite aspects of those attributes. So it's certainly great, right? We can't even conceive it. Psalm 108:4 says, "Your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. And that truth and faithfulness, you'll see that a lot in Scripture. Oftentimes, it's really the same Hebrew word that's used to bring out the word faithfulness or truth, and you'll see that. A familiar verse, I'm sure, to many of you, Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. And even in our unfaithfulness, right, God remains faithful to his nature and his promises. In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Right? He can't deny himself, who he is. That's his nature. Even our unfaithfulness cannot undermine God's faithfulness. And Romans 3, in verses 3 and 4, says, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Paul writes, certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. So God's faithfulness, it's true, right? He's great is his faithfulness. Taking a look at the verse, it goes on and says, great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions fail not. And kind of, you know, there is no shadow of turning with thee kind of speaks that, you know, God doesn't change. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow in turning. God doesn't change, right? He's not like shifting shadows. And isn't that a wonderful thing that we can count on? That we can count on God's changeless nature, you know? He doesn't change. He's perfect. And because he's perfect, right, he can't change. He can't get any less perfect or any more perfect. He's perfect and doesn't change. He never breaks a promise, right? He never changes his mind, and he never lies. God's promises are trustworthy and unchanging. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Wow, we can count on him. We can count on his word being true. He's always faithful, always true. Really not like man. You know, we change, right? And we're certainly not perfect. A.W. Tozer writes on this thought here. He says, God is at once faithful and immutable. So all his words and acts must remain faithful. Men become unfaithful out of desire, fear, weakness, loss of interest, or because of some strong influence from without. Obviously, none of these can affect God in any way. He can't be affected by it. He can't be influenced by all these. And with that, right, we can trust that we have a changeless God that's certainly faithful. It mentions here that thy compassions fail not. And again, we think back on that verse in Lamentations 3, right? His compassions are fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. They're new every morning. And God is faithful to supply us with what we need each and every day. The grace we need, right? His loving kindness, his faithfulness, his love. We can count on that each and every day. And great is his faithfulness. Psalm 117:2 says, for his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. It doesn't end, right? It continues. The hymn goes on to say, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. And that's that consistent nature of God. We think of Jesus Christ, right? In Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? He's the same. And Isn't that wonderful that we can know that, we can count on that, right? God's not going to change. He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to change his mind concerning our salvation, right? And if we put our faith and trust in him, we're a child of God. We're secure in that fact and forever, right? For all eternity. And what a joy that is to have that security. And as we think on all the promises of God. The second verse there says, summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. So really, as we think on the seasons, right? Every day is God's faithfulness, right? The sun comes up, God supplies the rain and the sun, and he's faithful. In Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. That's God's faithfulness. And we see it in his creation, right? We see he's holding all things together, right? Everything, he's holding the planets, the stars, and that's his faithfulness, right? Holding that all together day by day. We think of rainbows. Some of you kids made rainbow, right? Some craft in your Sunday school or your junior church class, and I saw lots of rainbows, right? And Darcy, you remember that, right? Rainbows. And you know, as I talked to some of you, you remembered that rainbow was a sign of God's promise, right? That, God has made a promise, really speaks of his faithfulness, right? He's not going to destroy the earth by a massive flood like that anymore. And he's put that sign in the sky for us. So really, every time we look up at the sky and we see a rainbow, we have to be thinking, God is faithful, right? Great is thy faithfulness, and remember that. In the third verse, it says, pardon for sin and a peace that endures. Pardon for sin. 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have a God that's faithful and just, and thankful that we have pardon for sin. And we think of, you know, our salvation as we trust and depend upon him. And he's a faithful God. He's told us that if we put our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done, and we'll be forgiven of our sins and cleansed from all unrighteousness. And what a joy again. And then it mentions a peace that endureth. And certainly there are promises from God's word. We think of John 14:27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace that the world gives is temporary at best, right? God gives permanent peace. And we can trust in that. Faithfulness is everlasting, and it endures to every generation, right? Endures for every generation. Psalm 105 says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And Psalm 119:90 says, your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides. Both verses here speaking of the endurance of God's faithfulness to subsequent generations, right? The everlasting nature of it mentions truth and faithfulness. And again, it's this is actually the Hebrew word emuna, and it's translated in Psalm 105 as truth, and it's translated as faithfulness in Psalm 119, 90. But they're both the same word. Truth and faithfulness, and you can see how those correlate, right? If you're faithful, you're truthful. So we have in here, both those verses speak of the enduring nature of God's faithfulness. Going on in that third verse, the next phrase is, thine, O dear presence, to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. We think of thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. God certainly, he's faithful, right, to never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there for us, to be there for us, his presence, right, his own dear presence to cheer and to guide. And I certainly cling to that, right, knowing that, you know, whatever we go through, we're going through some tough times, God is right there with us. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. We can be confident in that, right? That God is there for us. We don't need to fear. We don't need to be dismayed by the things going on, right? We can trust in the faithfulness of God, that he's right there with us. He might be orchestrating something in our life or allowing something to happen to us, but we can trust in that God. God is certainly faithful. He's there to help us. He's there to guide us. He's there to uphold us. And boy, that's encouraging. You know, as we go through some tough times in life, right? And you can think back at some of the tough things that you went through. There may be tough things ahead, or you may be going through something right now, right? Tough times. But to have to go with it through that without knowing that, you know, God is there for you, right? Boy, that must be an incredibly scary thing, right? But we have confidence in God that no matter what we go through, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he is there with you. And he's there to guide, and he's our help, right? We can turn to him, depend upon him, trust him. That's encouraging. I'm thankful we have a faithful God in that sense. Other manifestations of God's faithfulness, as we look at God's word, God is faithful to preserve his people in times of testing. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you might be able to bear it. So we have a faithful God that's not going to allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to go through, right? Whatever trial or temptation might be in front of you, it's not going to be something you can't handle. And he's going to give you a way of escape. Be sensitive to his leading so you know what that way of escape is, right? And but God is faithful in that sense. He's also faithful to establish you and to protect you from evil. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. That's a comforting thing, right? He's gonna build you up. He's gonna establish you, and he's gonna keep you from the evil one. He's gonna protect you. He's also faithful in our sanctification, completing what he started. You know, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. If God saved you, he's going to complete that work, right? He's going to work in you, and he's going to complete it. He's faithful to do it. And the end is being with him for all eternity. And what a blessing. I'm thankful again that we have such a faithful God. All right, so we've kind of looked at what it means to be faithful. We've looked at characteristics of God's faithfulness. We've looked at his manifestation and what ways he's manifested himself. Now let's go back and look at that. So the verse said, feed on his faithful. Well, what does it mean to feed on faithfulness? So as we look back at that verse, I actually looked at this passage from a bunch of different translations. And it was interesting, some of the differences. Again, the NKJV says in this verse, says, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. That clause there, feed on his faithfulness. And the KJV says, and verily thou shalt be fed. NASB said, and cultivate faithfulness. ESV said, and befriend faithfulness. And the RSV said, enjoy security. So a little different nuances, different translations. You know, are we to, asking myself, are we to feed and consume on his faithfulness or to cultivate faithfulness? And perhaps it's both. But let's take a look at this passage or this this phrase in detail. The word feed there is the Hebrew word ra'ah, and it means to pasture, to tend, to graze, and to feed. To pasture, tend, graze, and feed. I don't know about you, but I think of sheep when I think of grazing, right? They're grazing. They're in pasture. Now sheep are not like us, right? They don't have like breakfast and lunch and supper or dinner, right? They're not eating three times a day. That's what they say. They're grazing, right? Actually, I did some research. I looked it up. You know, how often does the sheep eat? Well, they actually graze for like 7 or 8 hours a day. I like that. You know, like, so we could kind of just graze for 7 or 8 hours a day. I'd be a lot heavier than I am now. But that they're eating, you know, a little bit throughout the day, right? And so the concept there, you know, we're to graze, right? We're to feed, grazing on his faithfulness, grazing on his abundant faithfulness, taking it in, consuming it. You know, practically thinking, what happens when we consume food, right? We take it in. You know, maybe it satisfies our hunger. It nourishes our body. We kind of absorb the nutrients and get strengthened and refreshed by it. So physically, right, that's what happens. And how is it? How is this faithfulness like food? Well, it's sort of like you know, we feed on his faithfulness, and it provides nourishment, strength, satisfaction, and even delight as we feed on God's faithfulness. Right? We get nourished, we get strengthened, we get satisfied, we get even delighted. Right? As we feed on his faithfulness. I kind of thinking on this idea of you know, feeding on and grazing. I was reminded of a time a couple years ago. We were, I think it was either the last year or a couple years ago. We were up in Acadia vacationing, and there's this mountain up there, Gore Mountain, and we Donna and I climbed up there with two of our grandkids, and it's. We get up above tree line really quickly, and you got a 360 view. It's very pretty. And when we got to the top there, we hot and tired, and we kind of walked around the area up there, and we came upon a spot that we were astonished at. Remember that, Don? It was a large area filled with blueberries, low bush blueberries. I mean, it was incredible. I had never seen you know, that many blueberries all in one spot, and they were all ripe, and it was just absolutely incredible. I grew up in New Hampshire, in northern New Hampshire, and we were right at the foot of a mountain. And in the summertime, I would go up and collect blueberries, right? And, you know, after a whole afternoon of collecting blueberries, I'd come home with a little cup. And, well, that might be, maybe I ate most of it on the way back, but I certainly didn't collect the kind of blueberries here. I mean, it was just incredible, and we were just in awe of it. And, you know, we were amazed by it, awed by it, and, you know, we grazed on the blueberries, we collected the blueberries, enjoyed, was certainly refreshed by it, right, and strengthened. And that's a little bit of a picture of how we are to look at the faithfulness of God, right? We need to feed on his faithfulness and be amazed. Think back on his faithfulness to you. Think back of all the years, right? And how he has worked in your life in a great way. Stand back and see that fruit in your life, right? His faithfulness, his promises that were true. Stand amazed. And that's an aspect of really feeding on his faithfulness. We're to taste it, we're to consume it, taste and see the The Lord is good, right? He wants us to taste it. He wants us to delight in it, find nourishment and strength in it. Well, how do we feed on his faithfulness? How do we feed on his faithfulness? I kind of summarize this in three ways. First, look at his word. God's word, God's faithfulness in his word. Be amazed at how God has fulfilled his word. You know, we can look at scripture. Certainly, we see his promises throughout his word. Many, many promises of Christ's coming, of the fulfillment of Christ's prophecies. We can think of his promises that are certainly true. We can think of how he worked in various lives of people throughout scripture, and or promises that, you know, prophecy. You know, we've been studying, we just finished up our study in Daniel in our Sunday school class, and certainly amazed at the prophecies of God there in Daniel. And one particular chapter, chapter 9, was incredible, right? We looked at the passage there speaking on the kings of the north and south and all that transpired there. And this was a prophecy 200, 300 years before it actually happened. And then to be able to look back in history, and we can name names, right? We can put names associated with every one of those aspect in that chapter. And that's pretty incredible. And the accuracy we see in God's word. And, you know, there are portions of that passage that still remain unfulfilled. But we know, right, that, you know, based on God's faithfulness and is true to his word, right? Those things are going to be accomplished. And so God's faithfulness. We can look back at other portions of scripture, right? We can look at, you know, he promised to preserve Noah and his family. And he fulfilled that, right? He promised Abraham to be that he would become a great nation, right? And, I mean, he's pretty well along in age and doesn't have any heirs, and he's going to become a great nation. And God fulfilled that, right? He promised Abraham a son, even in his old age. Again, he fulfilled that. He promised Moses that he would use him to free the Hebrews from Egypt, and he fulfilled that. He promised Elijah to feed him through the famine. He accomplished that. He promised David victory over foreign armies. He accomplished that. And again, we can just look throughout scripture over and over again, his promises. And of course, more importantly, his son, Jesus Christ. You know, a savior would atone for our sins, and he accomplished that. Looking back, right, that's feeding on his faithfulness. Jeremiah, think of Jeremiah. He says, you know, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name. You know, he fed on God's word. He ate God's word. Are we eating God's word? Are we consuming it? Are we delighting in it? Are we holding fast to it, chewing on it, digesting it, finding nourishment from it? I hope so. So we look back at his word, God's faithfulness in his word. Secondly, look back at your own life. God's faithfulness manifested in your own life. Picture God's evidence of his faithfulness in your lives really as fruit. Think of the many examples of faithfulness to you personally, and stand back and see how great a crop it is, right? You know, and as I meditated on what God has done in my life, both in his faithfulness to me, in the choices made, right, the circumstances that I've gone through, both the little ones, the big ones, and I could see God's faithfulness, and trusting him and seeing God work, right? And each one of those examples we're building, right? It builds our faith when we, you know, God directs us to do something. You know, it might not be what we think might be the in our own selfishness or own human nature, that doesn't seem like the best way to go here. But I'm going to trust your word, and you do it, and you see God work in a great way. That builds faith, right? And it's that faith building on faith. And certainly as I look back on my own life, I'm so thankful for God and his faithfulness to me in so many ways. So many ways where I cried out to him in certain situations, and he was faithful. We have a faithful God. getting back to Psalm 92, right, where we declare his faithfulness every night, that's certainly a good practice. That's a practice that, you know, we should, you know, thank you, Lord, for what you did even today, right, and be mindful of that and be have that be as a habit. One psalm here I'd like to go to. Psalm 77, verses 10 and 12. This is an interesting verse. And as we think on, you know, looking back on our life, the psalmist, and this is, again, NKJV, but the psalmist writes, and I said, this is my anguish. This is my anguish. And as the psalmist is thinking, you know, this is my anguish, could be interpreted as disease or difficulty or, you know, this is my anguish. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your works and talk of your deeds. Boy, that's great, right? To be able to do that. When okay, the psalmist is facing a difficulty. We don't know sure exactly what it is here, but it's anguish. It's causing anguish and heartache. But then finds faith. Is, but I'm going to remember. I'm going to remember three things. I'm going to remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'm going to remember your power in my life over all these years. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember the works of the Lord. I'm going to remember his works and acknowledge that. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and then talk of your deeds. Right? So it's not only remembering, meditating, but talking about it, sharing it. You know, you're sharing God's faithfulness to you. You're meditating. All these things are certainly aspects of feeding on his faithfulness. We want to feed on his faithfulness. We need to be you know, looking into his word, reflecting on our own life, thanking God for all that he's worked day by day, feeding on his faithfulness. And then sharing that, right? Psalm 40 and verse 10 says, I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Wow, being able to praise God for what he's done, right? Acknowledge what he's done in your life. Praise him for that. We should proclaim his faithfulness and his salvation openly. All right, look at his word, right? Look back at your life. And then finally, look ahead. Trusting in God, walking by faith and obedience. To ponder his unbounded faithfulness and reflect on that character in his word and that reality in my life has been such a blessing. Knowing and dwelling on the truth that we have a God so faithful and true that his promises are sure and his love is unending also provides strength and confidence for the days ahead. We saw in that hymn, right? Great is thy faithfulness. When weaknesses afflict us, the assurance of God's never-ending faithfulness can enable to carry on in his name. His faithful care is the nourishment we need, giving us, as this hymn mentioned, right? Strength for today and hope for tomorrow. God's calling really is backed by his faithfulness to fulfill it. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will also do it. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So we have he's going to sanctify us. He's going to complete us. We can be trusting in that, right? Trusting, stepping out in faith, trusting him. He desires us to trust him and invites us to do so. Right? That verse there, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. You know, I see robins open their mouths and I think of that verse when I see that, right? That God is saying, hey, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. I'm going, be willing to receive what I have for you. I'm desiring to shower my goodness upon you. Trust in me. As we look back on his faithfulness, our faith swells and we know we can trust him now. Whatever we are facing, we can find nourishment and strength in the faithfulness and trust him. We feed by looking back, but also taking action and trusting him now and trusting him in an unknown future. Taste and see that the Lord is good, right? So, well, God is, in conclusion, God is certainly faithful, and that faithfulness really knows no bound. He has demonstrated his faithfulness in creation. He's demonstrated his faithfulness in the lives of biblical saints. He has demonstrated his faithfulness in his word and his fulfilled promises. And he's demonstrated faithfulness in our lives, hasn't he? Let us not forget those the facts of his faithfulness, and to remember to feed and to graze on his faithfulness, that we may be nourished, that we may be strengthened for the challenges of life, and to trust him fully. Feed on his faithfulness and enjoy the meals. All right, let's close in prayer. Father God, Lord, we're